Dive into the dynamic world of high school sports. Whether you're a seasoned athletic director, a newcomer to the field, or simply curious to learn more about this exciting profession, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, education, and a deeper understanding of the game-changing decisions that shape the world of high school athletics. All right. Well, welcome back to AD360. I'm Greg Vanderbilt, joined by my co-host, Scott Rosenberg. Here today, Scott and I are going to be talking about episode two. Pretty excited to bring that to you. The focus of today's episode is going to be game day management for spring sports. We're going to talk about the difference of setting up certain events during the spring, how they vary from baseball, golf, track, soccer, golf, etc. What goes on behind the scenes, what challenges we typically have seen in our past, what the ADs are seeing in current. And with the spring sports in full swing, we think that this was probably most appropriate for a lot of ADs out there to generate some good conversation. But before we jump in, Scott, I kind of want to get your perspective on things, you know, just kind of want to get your overall thoughts on spring sports season from an AD perspective. Did you like it more than fall? Is it busier? Is it more difficult, less busy? Just thoughts on that overall.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, first, before we even start that, did you used to watch game film a lot? Because after we did the first podcast, I had to go back to the game film just to see how I did. And I realized that I used the word right like way more times than I can even count. So I got to have a goal for today. And my goal here is to not use the word right too many times.
Now maybe in post-production, right? Post-production, could we possibly get like a right count? You know, we could find our key catchphrases and just and make it almost like a swear jar for us, but it's just for our common phrases that we say.
It was so bad. So bad. Listen, spring season, I would imagine it probably has to do with what part of the country you're in terms of how easy, difficult it might be. I think here on the East Coast in like the Mid-Atlantic region, New Jersey specifically, it's, I think, the toughest season overall. We had a lot of sports. The weather was really unpredictable. Season starts out really cold, warms up. The season tended to be pretty long in the preseason, but shorter in the regular season as well. So I thought it was pretty difficult. How about you?
You know, I would definitely echo those thoughts. You know, I was a little bit more fortunate. I was in Southern California, so weather was rarely a factor. But for me, it was facility scheduling. You know, I mean, like we were landlocked. We didn't have the largest facilities. So trying to get in, we had both boys and girls lacrosse, soccer, baseball, all basically sharing kind of a common area. So it was a little bit difficult from there. I'd say one of the biggest challenges that I faced as an AD during the spring was just game management personnel. Finding scoreboard operators, finding people to be, you know, manning gates, security personnel, things like that. Just because literally every day, Tuesday through Saturday, there was at least one event going on. So being able to schedule everybody, that was kind of the biggest challenge that I had. And then you have to also factor in all the external events outside of athletics that you're navigating, right? Because there's a ton of things going on from performing arts that you're having to navigate. There's things that you're having to really be mindful of in terms of just student activities. So I found spring, there were elements of it that were easier, I guess, in terms of I didn't have to worry about venue capacities as much because we were outdoors, there was more space. But from venue management in terms of what's available, what isn't, and then also trying to accommodate my out-of-season coaches that wanted field space, it was a bear. You know, it was definitely one of the more challenging seasons just because of the sheer volume of events that were taking place.
That makes sense. And I think you touched on it, and I'll add to it. It's the outside stuff that also is difficult in the spring. You're getting towards graduation. You're getting towards prom season. You have so many different like things that are pushing and pulling on the schedule. Even field trips. I feel like most field trips happen in the spring. Fall, the teachers are just getting used to being in the classroom. Winter, nobody wants to travel, I guess, unless you're in Southern California. Spring, all of a sudden, everyone wants to be on a field trip, and now you're waiting on a bus to get back from a field trip. Is your kid going to be on time? Are you holding up a bus athletically for that? So I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no, definitely some challenges. So why don't we go ahead and just kind of dive in with some of the questions you and I have to go through and, you know, just chat a little bit about the complexities that really are spring sports and how we are able to really just navigate those waters and make sure that everybody had a good time, all coaches, student athletes, entire campus community involved. So the first one I wanted to ask you was, as we're looking at spring sports, how did you effectively plan for the season? And what were some of your, for lack of a better term, preseason checklist items that you would go through as an AD, just making sure that you were lined up and ready to go for the spring season?
Yeah, listen, I think preseason checklist is exactly what people should be doing. I think you literally should have a list and check boxes because there's so much to think about and you'll forget if you don't have something written down and something to refer to. I also think that oftentimes people tend to operate way too much in a vacuum. So one important thing I would always do, whether it was spring or not, is I want to walk through everything with my coaches. So I want to look at the facility with my coaches. I want to meet with them. I want them to understand what does everything look like going into the season and get their feedback. I don't want my baseball coach to walk onto the mound on the first day of practice and feel like the mound isn't high enough. And now we have to worry about getting that mound fixed in a short amount of time with bad weather. So literally like walk through everything with your coaches. Make sure that they understand and that they're like happy going into the season. You're going to work with your grounds crews. You're going to check all your scoreboards. You're going to check on your lighting system, your sound system, the fields themselves. You're going to check your cameras for live streaming. Clearly, you're going to have to start thinking about senior nights early in the season. There's a good question for you, Greg. Senior nights, good early in the season or at the end of the season? Your opinion, real fast.
Yeah, you know, I would say earlier in the season was a little bit easier, you know, because then you had a little bit more wiggle room, if you will. And then on top of it too, there wasn't the internal stress of a league opponent, right? You know, there's so many stressors going into those games, and those league games make or break your playoff standings, make or break your seasons. So, I mean, not to downplay the importance of those, let's call them pre-league games, but I found it to be a little bit easier to schedule those earlier in the season. But more often than not, you wanted coaches that had it more towards the end of the year as their last home contest. And to your point, I mean, just being able to schedule all of that and the nuances that are in there with it and making sure that everybody's lined up and they're ready to go. You have the family there. You have everybody ready to take pictures. That was definitely one that was difficult to juggle because you're never going to make everybody happy. And you want to make sure that everyone gets recognized for what they've done and their accomplishments throughout their time at your school. But certainly senior nights would be kind of one of those AD pain points, if you will, making sure that everything's ready to roll because you're guaranteed to get at least one email or phone call from parents related to that for each sport, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think spring season, even more than others, because towards the end of that spring season, you've got more of those events that we talked about, right? I said, right, the proms, the award ceremonies, the concerts, all those things that can create conflicts. And I think before COVID, we always push those towards the end. It seemed like a culminating type of activity. If COVID taught us anything, we started doing that much earlier just because we never knew how long the season was going to be, what might get canceled, what might not get canceled. And we kind of moved forward from that, starting our senior nights earlier as a result.
I think that's a great way of looking at it, you know, because like when you look at that COVID era, it really forced you to examine your operational procedures and how you did things. You know, that's one thing that was certainly a takeaway from the AD perspective is you don't know, you're not guaranteed those senior nights. So you want to make sure that you have the ability to recognize those seniors. God forbid something happens to where the season's cut short, right? And I just said, right. So now we both are in the red there, buddy.
I hear you. So listen, I mean, I think we can both agree that the preseason checklist can be almost all consuming at times, and just getting it done early and staying on top of it and having something that you can refer to and maybe adding to that every year even is probably critically important to get things done correctly. Looking at events themselves, walk me through the elements to creating and managing a really solid game day experience.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great question because there's so many of them, right? There's so many different elements that you have to make sure are lined up. I'll look at it a couple different ways. First, you had kind of touched on talking with your coaches and doing like walkthroughs before the season even begins to make sure that everything's lined up. So I think that that's a key element just in itself, looking at the technology piece. Are your scoreboards operating? Do you have streaming available? Do you have a PA announcer? Do you have all of the things that could potentially go wrong that I'll be the first to admit as an AD, I didn't know how to fix the scoreboard if it went down. And I knew if our tech team wasn't around that I was going to have to get out the old flip chart and be able to keep score that way with runs. And no one was happy about that. But when it came to actual event management, there were certain areas that I had like checklists on that I would have weekly meetings with our various teams, right? We had one that was called Events Weekly, where we would sit down with all the campus departments and kind of walk through what the following week looks like. What events are on campus? How are we going to manage parking? What are we doing for just gate entry points? Where's security going to be located? So like you were looking at it just from the people management, right? Of the people that are going to be coming on campus. So that's one area you've got to look at first. Then you've got to really address, do I have all my personnel? Are my referees scheduled? Do I have a bus if I'm on the road? Am I going to be able to have game day personnel for the event management itself in terms of whether there's ticketing or not? If there's going to be scoreboard operators, as mentioned before, but just ensuring that every person that was going to play a role in that was scheduled. Sport medicine, another one that I just erroneously omitted, but that was a big one. Do you have athletic training coverage? Something goes wrong. And then in the grander scheme of things, you know, as we prep for spring, what's our emergency action plan? Where is that located? How do you operate? Does everyone know what to do in the event of an emergency? So there's so many pieces to that puzzle that you're looking at, not only on a seasonal basis, a weekly basis, a daily basis, ensuring that everything's lined up and you're ready to go. And what is your backup plan? That was my biggest thing is like, It almost sounds wrong to say this, but like what carry a healthy level of paranoia, right? Is what I did as an AD. What do I do if something goes wrong? What is my backup? If this goes down, they don't show up. What do we do? And that was really the management path, the aspect that I would look at when I was in that role is just ensuring that we had plans in place for the unexpected because you never know what it's going to be.
Plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Exactly. That's all you can do.
And I think your comment about emergency management plans in general, huge topic. Probably should take that to a completely full episode of this at some point. Spring season, I think about lightning being probably more prevalent towards the end of that season. But at least here, that became an issue. Athletic training. One of the things that I think about the spring season is how spread out a lot of the athletic events are on campuses, and some oftentimes wind up being off campus. There's just so many going on. A baseball field is large. That how close is that to the lacrosse field? How close is that to the tennis courts? And so from your athletic trainer perspective, where do they go? Where do you put that athletic trainer? Is it the sport that you think has the, I guess, biggest chance of having a catastrophic injury? Is it one that you're worried about, like just nicks and bruises? Like, where do you put your trainer? So there's a lot that goes into that sort of like event management and to try and plan for and make it a good day.
Yeah. And I think that that's a great topic for us to look at, you know, down the road is just like emergency action plans and event management from that perspective. I think you brought up a good point as well too, you know, with the varying venues that you have. One scenario that we had is, can we have baseball going on while lacrosse is going on? The fields were so close and adjacent from a safety perspective. So then you're looking at it from a scheduling perspective well in advance. Yeah, I want to have a game on this day. It's like, can you either go at 3 or 7? You know, we'll have to manipulate that. Where are we going to position our athletic trainers? We had a lot of things that were offsite as well. You know, so there's certainly a lot of different moving targets that you're really trying to plan for in the spring, which makes it very difficult for athletic directors. And plus, we didn't even touch on the supervision aspect. You can't be everywhere at once. You know,
a big stressor on like the people that are working for you. Even that lacrosse baseball example. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, if you got to push a game to 5 or 7, now you've got an athletic trainer or a bunch of other people who are now there much later in the day as a result.
No, and great topics to really kind of investigate and look at as you're going through that spring planning, right? So next question I've got for you is going to be, in your opinion, which sports did you feel really had the biggest challenge for you? You know, like some are played every day, track and field, maybe it's once a week. You know, what required the most day of work, weeks before work, just overall time investment and sweat equity? Which ones did you see being the biggest challenges from the spring perspective?
Another great question. I'll mention New Jersey soccer is in the fall. So you mentioned soccer is a spring sport, which I know across the country, number of states have. So I take soccer out of that mix, and I think about the lacrosse is big in New Jersey, the softball, the baseball, the track, the golf. I'm sure I'm missing something. Tennis as well. Tennis tended to be the most low maintenance sport. You didn't need officials, at least here. No officials for tennis. You didn't really have to do much prep with the facility for tennis. Tennis was pretty simple. Gosh, baseball and softball being played almost every day, that was stressful. The fields, again, most of the lacrosse soccer fields in New Jersey at this point anyway are turf. So you get bad weather, you weren't necessarily having to worry about canceling that game unless it was really bad. But as soon as you got bad weather for baseball or softball, those clay infields, unless you have turf, like we were canceling games all the time, having to move stuff around, and then making sure you have officials, that was difficult. Track's an interesting one. You said, well, hey, maybe it's once a week. If you're hosting a track meet, I don't know what they look like all across the country, but gosh, our track meets were huge. They would either be two, three, or four schools at one site. We would have 10, 12, 15 officials associated with that. You had to worry about sand pits and field event areas and being really spread out. It was the first sport that I canceled with the possibility of bad weather. You might say, why? I was worried about how much it cost me for officials. As soon as that event started, as soon as they showed up on campus, I was in the hole for like probably a minimum of $1,500 for officials. They get there, you cancel that event 20 minutes in, or it never happens. You pay that $1,500 for the officials, and then you're bringing them back again tomorrow and paying them full price. So that was sometimes like push and pull. Golf, just being off campus, always worried about things off campus, but another fairly low maintenance sport from my athletic director perspective.
You know, I'd kind of echo that too. You know, the baseball and softball was always stressful because one, they're playing constantly, right? It may be your lower levels, it could be varsity, you could have multiple games in a day there. So just from the facility management, that was a stressor, right? Because you're trying to get as many people opportunities for the out of season sports. Like in California, they were allowed to have, you know, off season practices and strength and conditioning and things like that. So the baseball and softball element for us, the other difficulty was our softball played off site, you know, so is that venue available? Can we get it booked in advance? If you have some type of weather delay or cancellation, rescheduling, are we going to be able to get that field back? Is it available? So like that was a big stressor just in the frequency of baseball and softball. So I'd certainly agree with you there. I definitely agree with you as well in terms of golf and tennis. They were some of your more lower maintenance in terms of your day-to-day worries, but then you had to factor in, you know, are these venues available? We were offsite for both. I mean, I'm pretty sure almost no school has a golf course, and if they do, kudos to you. Or maybe I'm sorry, I don't know how you would manage that as an AD having to have a golf course that you're in charge of as well. But they were a little bit easier. Track and field, though, certainly one that was on my radar. We would only hold a couple of events during the year. And the biggest one for us that was a huge stressor is we would rotate where league finals were every year. And if you were hosting league finals, you better make sure going into that league finals week, you had everything buttoned up from walkways, how spectators were going to enter and exit, just a standard track meet. We had to be cognizant of the fact that you got throwing sports and you have to close off areas of the fields to make sure that from a safety perspective, you don't have somebody walking by and a discus coming by them. So there was there was definitely a lot of things to carry that healthy level of paranoia about the entire time when those events were going on. But I would agree with you. Track and field was probably one of the more stressful ones just because of the sheer size of it, the number of people that are going to be on your campus. There's so many different things that could go wrong, from timing systems to, you know, officials, starters, all that stuff. So I would certainly agree with you. And I think that kind of brings us into a little bit of our next question is, you know, you have all those things that you have to worry about. How do you prepare for the unexpected things that come up? You know, like what's your plan if some type of emergency comes up? What did you do? Like, did you go into each event kind of having somewhat of a plan, or you just were flying by the seat of your pants and making the best decisions you possibly could?
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes back to the emergency response piece that you mentioned and just having as much in place as you can. I also think that there's a healthy event that can occur, like for planning. You can't just have something on paper and expect everything to go right because it was on paper. So, for example, I would have our athletic trainer practice a catastrophic injury taking place on a field, a kid going down, an official going unconscious. Who's going to go run and get the AED? Who's going to call the ambulance? What's the team going to do? What's the coach going to do? Like, walking through some of those scenarios is probably smart, just to make sure you have it right and you've done it before, because the unexpected doesn't always have to be completely a new experience. Make sense?
No, and I think that's a great way of approaching it. I mean, like, you look at it from a campus perspective. You know, in California, you would have your earthquake drills. You'd have fire drills across the country. So from a campus perspective, you do a dry run in the event something takes place, and you have the teams that are assigned for, you know, you're a sweep team and you're going through and checking the classrooms. You're doing that for regular campus operations. I think it's a brilliant idea to kind of do a mock run through of a catastrophic injury with your event staff for athletic events, because then they know what their responsibility is, because you never know what it's going to be. It could be a catastrophic injury. It could be a multitude of things, right? But being able to understand, okay, my job is X, Scott, your job's Y. We're all going to collectively go together and make sure that we can get through this scenario the best possibly we can. So I think that's a brilliant idea. I think that that's a great takeaway for many ADs, is just kind of the emergency preparation, if you will.
I'll take it one level further. I had a basketball coach. Maybe I mentioned it last time. I can't remember. But I had a basketball coach who practiced things like a fight in front of the bench during practice. So again, what happened, like, you know, if any of those kids step on the court, you're done as a team. Will you be out of the state tournament in New Jersey? So he would literally practice, like, guys kind of putting their arms, or, you know, in front of each other and creating like a fence of arms so that guys couldn't leave the bench. So yeah, practice. The more you can do of any of that kind of stuff, I feel like the better off you are. So it's not a brand new situation in a tough situation.
Oh, that's a great point. Certainly a great point.
Talk to me about, we mentioned it a little bit, other departments. And so, especially the spring season, with so much else going on, what was your approach to maybe working, what other departments, and your approach to working with other departments where maybe sports wasn't number one?
It makes perfect sense. You know, so what we did is we had a meeting with department heads on a weekly basis, and we termed it Events Weekly, where we went through everything on the calendar, everything, every department, what you have coming up for the next week, what needs you're going to have, what venues are going to be occupied, how you're going to be operating. And that in itself saved us a lot of headaches, because you already knew, okay, there's going to be an overlap here, security, be aware, folks are going to be going these areas and these areas, and having those communications. But it was not always sunshine and rainbows, right? Because you're going to have conflict. You're going to have people that schedule things, or there needs to be rescheduling of things, and you have to figure out how you're going to navigate and manage that. I felt like the prior planning was the best way to do it. And there were some weeks where we would go in there and you'd be in and out in 5 minutes. And there were some weeks where you're taking a full hour, hour and a half of ironing out the details of what's going to be taking place on the campus. And I think that it's critical to have multiple departments aware of what's going on, especially those departments that have extracurriculars taking place where there's students on campus after school. What are you doing for supervision? You know, hey, we've got this contest going on. We know that you're wrapping up practice. Are you communicating these things to your students of, hey, event Y is going on over here. You guys got to steer clear of that because they've shut down this corridor due to the baseball contest that's taking place. So it really was a campus-wide effort. You know, we didn't operate in a silo. I know so many times we feel like we are in one because we're just trying to navigate all the challenges in front of us. And Scott, I'm realizing now that navigate's my word of the week. But really just having all the departments aware of what's taking place was a big piece for us to ensure that we had success. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, if I stood here right now and said that I was really great at that and I was really understanding of all the other departments, and anybody who I used to work with, including my coaches, heard this, I'd be called a big liar. I think I got too territorial at times, and I think I put athletics probably ahead of everything else way too much. My thought process, like backseat driver looking back, I could have done a better job of putting kids first in the conversation. It's like the adults who always mess it up. The adults are fighting between events and sharing kids for events. And somehow it trickled down to the kids and the student athletes, and probably not fair. So my lesson here would be put the kids first, make sure that they're taken care of, and let the adults' egos maybe stay out of it a little bit. And I wasn't good at that at all.
Well, I think you bring up a good point too, like with the adults and the egos, and like we always wanted to make sure we're putting on the most grandiose event that you could possibly have because you're trying to showcase your school and everything that it has to offer, right? You want to use that almost as a tool to market what you have to offer for students in the area, right? And there are times where adults get caught up in the minutia. The kids care about the event. They care about going out and playing, being with their teammates and having fun. So at the end of it, if the entry music didn't go off as planned, they're going to forget that in 5 minutes, whereas you may have some adults sitting there harping on it for the next 5 weeks. You know what I mean? So I think that a good takeaway there is focus on the kids' experience. Make sure that it's a great experience for them, because ultimately that's who we're there for. You know, it's not for us. It's for them.
Remind me about game day music. That could be another whole episode.
Remind me
how my girls' lacrosse team had to listen to my country music for an entire season because of poor language in the first 7 seconds of their first preseason music or pregame music.
It's always a great feeling when you're walking by one of the venues and you hear colorful language, let's call it that, and you know that there's somebody from the brass there that heard that. And you know, within the next 30 seconds, you're getting a text message and tomorrow morning you're having a meeting, right?
Somebody's always listening or watching for sure.
That's the truth. Well, let's switch gears a little bit. Talk to me about just hiring, you know, because there are so many personnel that you have to get available for these events and the support staff. How did you go about hiring? How did you go about scheduling? Did you have like onboarding for training? Did you leverage various departments on campus to help you? So what did that look like at your school?
I would say bribe, lead, beg would be top of mind. It got harder and harder, I feel like, to get people to work. Teachers aren't paid enough. Coaches aren't paid enough. People have second jobs, third jobs. They can make $100 an hour tutoring math, or they can come and make $40 for a 2.5 hour security at a game. Relationships, Greg, I would say this. I really felt like, and actually was told this after I left, that a lot of the people working were working to do right by me because of the relationships that I created. They weren't doing it for the money. They were doing it just to help me out. And when I left, the new AD, not knowing as many people, it took them a little bit. Some of those people who worked for me stopped working because they're like, Scott's gone. I never really wanted to do this. I just did it. And so it took him just a little bit of time to kind of get to know people, so that he could have people who were his people and willing to do that tough job. So it's a beast. I think that if you can communicate early, there's tools out there for having people sign up to work at events and seeing that schedule well in advance. I think you can always talk to your board about trying to raise the amount people make. And then in terms of training, yeah, I mean, whether it's somebody who's collecting tickets, somebody who's scanning tickets, somebody who's checking people in for tickets, checking the referees in, doing management of the stands and the parents and that kind of stuff. I think it's common sense most of the time, but those conversations are completely worthwhile.
No, and I think that you really hit it on the head in terms of relationships, right? And it's so vital that you generate and really cultivate those types of relationships so you understand who you can count on, because there's always going to be some external circumstance as to why one of your personnel isn't able to make it. Who do you have as a backup? I think a lot of it too is just making sure that you have that Rolodex. And the only way you do that is by building out strong relationships. And I think one of the best ways you can do it is just creating great experiences for the kids, because then those parents eventually become parents of alumni that may still want to be a part of the program. And they maybe will want to help you. And I think that that's great points in terms of just like relationships and building those to help your events overall, right?
Tell you what, man, I think that's brilliant. That is, everybody's got to listen to that one again. Untapped resource, parents of kids who have gone through the program and graduated who don't know what the heck to do at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday or 7 o'clock on a Friday, because the last 4, 8 years of their lives, they knew exactly where they were going to be. And so Why not leverage them to maybe be a part of it still?
Yeah.
And now you got some adults in the room. And I love that. Honestly, I love that. Good stuff. I know we were going to talk about like network of game day personnel, but I think we kind of covered that, Greg.
Yeah, I think we did. You know, like in terms of the network, just as we had touched on, you know, keeping that that group ready and keeping them happy. You know, it's certainly something that can be helpful. Why don't we switch gears a little bit and just kind of talk about some of the tools that you might have used with your staff to make sure that things were running smoothly. Was there any technology pieces that you might have leveraged on that front to make sure you knew who was supposed to be where, when, and what they were doing?
Now I'm going to feel like I'm trying to sell something if I respond to this. But, I mean, listen, there's things free, like a sign-up genius, I think, where you can just put your games out there and people could sign up for those events. We have tools as a company that also allow for that, where you can assign people, they can be reminded, alerted about games. You can give them contracts and things like that to make sure you have the personnel there when they're supposed to be there. So I think there's free versions, there's paid versions, but any version is better than no version. And pencil and paper would be my last choice as a version of trying to stay organized.
And I think that's the best way to go about it, right? Because especially with the technology piece, you can pull up your phone and check that out because you're always on the go. Like, you're not carrying your laptop to every single event. You're not going to have that notebook. Maybe you lose that notebook. Maybe you misdate things. Like, there's too many moving parts to not kind of consolidate that into a central location where you can easily check it. I'm right there with you, you know, and I can freely say this without feeling like I'm pitching, if you will, but we certainly leveraged some software to make sure that we knew what was taking place. We use stuff just for tracking of injuries too, you know, like documenting things. So we had things that were well documented in the event that we needed it, right? And then from a personnel perspective, we knew who we had scheduled. There was ways to confirm it, and you weren't kind of left on that proverbial island and just worrying the entire time. So I think that's a good one for us to kind of wrap on, you know. And I think that this has been a great episode to talk through about the varying elements of spring sports. Now that we're in the thick of it and everything's running full tilt, I definitely enjoyed getting a little bit more of a behind the scenes look at your spring sports scheduling and how you really kind of scheduled everything. It gives fans a perspective of everything that's going on, you know, because a lot of times you show up in the stands and you have no idea of all the back end work that goes in to running a great event. So any closing thoughts on this one?
I mean, that's 100% true. Isn't it the things that are planned the best, people notice the least?
Yes.
You don't really want people to notice that there's a bunch of security around. You don't want them to notice that the announcer is doing a great, like, you just want it to flow, and you don't want to have to worry about people thinking too much about that. Those are the best experiences. So agree. And looking forward to future episodes. Then we got a lot of good stuff planned. NIL, we were talking about a little bit. We talked about game day management or emergency plans. What else we have coming up?
We were talking about just in terms of like overall year scheduling, you know, like looking at it from the grand scheme of things and like how you manage your overall calendar year, you know, so there's a wealth of topics that we can really touch on this. And we certainly appreciate all of those that have tuned in. And if you like what you heard today, please stay tuned in for more episodes. We got some very intriguing topics that'll be coming up, as Scott just mentioned. And make sure you follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Don't miss any new episodes. We certainly will be coming back with more fresh content. And the beautiful thing about the athletic director world is there is always something new to talk about. And there's always the standard topics of how people manage it. And we can dive in and start looking at it from different lenses and perspectives, because every school has its uniqueness, and every challenge may seem unique to that AD, but I guarantee there's thousands of them out there that are experiencing the same thing. And for us to be able to shed a light on that and help give some different perspectives, if you will, I think is great.
You know what we need to do? We need to figure out a way to curate lists of things like preseason checklists. So people who are listening, they probably have some really good ones. We got to figure out a way to like gather that, curate it, and make it available to anybody who's listening.
I think that would be fantastic, kind of creating just like a landing page with information that we're really kind of generating as we're talking through and just having conversation about the lives that we used to live and how we can help those that are currently in that same realm, right?
Let's do it. Thanks, man.
Well, fantastic. Well, from AD360, Greg Vandermeid, Scott Rosenberg, really appreciate you all joining us today. And until next time, take care.